got me. I liked it. It was good. All right, turn to Genesis 22. I hope I'm going to preach this in a way that maybe you never have looked at before. And I believe that what I say will fit every child of God in here. Because I'm going to talk about the trial of Abraham. God had one son without sin, but He never has had a son without trials. And you're either coming out of a trial, you're in a trial, or you're fixing to go into a trial. He'll try you between here and where you're headed. And you'll be better off when the trial comes, when it's over. Genesis 22, we'll read. And it came to pass after these things. Now God had already put him to 8 minor trials. And he got him ready for the greatest trial of his life. See, God don't put heavy burdens on weak shoulders. And He don't ever let nothing come your way until He prepares you for you'll be able to bear it. Our government will bring a boy into the service, but they don't ship him to the front line the first day. They train him and get him ready for the war. And after these things, after God got him ready, He put him to the greatest trial of his life. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or try Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went up both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord said unto him out of heaven, Abraham, and the angel of the Lord said unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. If Abraham had not been close enough to hear God, he'd have killed his own boy. And I'm going to tell you, it pays to stay close enough to the Lord where you can know which way He's wanting you to go and what He wants you to do. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now, the Jewish people are kin to Abraham in the flesh. But you and I are relatives of Abraham in the faith, because as many as walk in the steps of Abraham are the children of Abraham and the son of Abraham. And here, after God had got him ready, he put him to the greatest trial that I could ever imagine. I don't know a man in Greensboro, I don't know a man in Salisbury, North Carolina, that could have stood up on the trial that God put this early believer to. And I want to break the story down into three thoughts and talk about Abraham's trial and how he acted. You know, God always allows our faith to be tried where we can prove His faithfulness. You'll never know how faithful God is until, dear neighbor, you've proved Him.
Yes.
And until you've been tried and God shows Himself and proves Himself to you. And three things about His faith I want to pick up and deal with for a little while tonight. And number one, I want to talk about the burden of His faith. There was a burden because of his nerves. You know, when God saves a man or a woman, He don't eradicate the glands out of their body. And He don't eradicate the nerves out of their body. I mean, they still got that old place to live in and to deal with. And here's a man who loved his son. I mean, how that must have worked on his nerve when God said, I want you to take him to the top of the mountain and give him to God and offer him to God. Not your cattle, that would have been easy for him. And not your gold and silver, that would have been easy. Not your servant even, not even Eliezer, but your son. I mean, the one you sired and your only son. I want you to take him to the top of the mountain and offer him there as a sacrifice to God. And I want to tell you, folks, and listen to an old man, going to heaven is not like catching an elevator and mashing a button. There'll be a lot of trials. There'll be a lot of tears. There'll be a lot of burdens. The Bible said, through many tribulations we'll enter the kingdom of God. And how this must have affected Abraham and unnerved Abraham. God tried him. And the burden of a trial was his nerves, dear neighbor. It had to be a nerve-wracking event. And then that was his name. Now, he'd already sent another boy away. And Isaac was the only one left. And if he dies, the name of Abraham will be blotted out from under heaven. He'll never be remembered. The seed and the line had to come through Isaac. And his nerves will try. And his name will be blotted out if his son dies. And neighbor, always remember this. Remember this. We don't prove what we are when the sun's shining. And when we're on shouting grounds, we don't really say much to the world. But when the fire's built around us and the ground is shaking around us and we're a people of God in the trial, then the world will know that we're drawing strength from the source outside of our own self. And Adam knows that it will be in the trial and it may be brought it out if Isaac does. I had a man that led the choir in the church when I pastored. I stayed at the same church 30 years and a mile where I was born. And Brother Amos was one of the greatest men I ever met. Brother Gilmer, you'll agree with that. I've never met a better Christian than Brother Amos Stover. We worked together 20 years, and whoever crossed mine, I don't know it. But he used to get up and sing. If you can smile when there's nothing to smile about.
Yeah, right.
And if you can sing when there's nothing to sing about.
Yes.
If you can pray when there's nothing to pray about. Then I'll know that
yes.
You know my Savior.
Yes.
Well, I left the church and soon after Brother Amos left and went to another church. But I went back on homecoming to preach at the church where I'd stayed for so many years, and in the meantime, Brother Amos had got a hold of the cancer, and it was destroying him in his prostate. He was dying slowly. His face was white as snow. And I looked back, and he had come back home for the homecoming, and I wondered, Brother Amos, you used to sing. If you can smile when there's nothing to smile, and I knew he had nothing to smile about, I knew he had nothing to sing about, and I wondered, Brother Amos, can you still smile? And I got to preaching in a big way, and that big old smile that I've seen through the years broke out on his face.
Yeah.
And I seen the faith of God working in the heart of one of his little children. And men and women of God, you're in the runs up through the fire, dear neighbor, and burns all the gross away, and gets them ready for the work that he wants them to do. And his nerve, it was a trial to his nerve, to his name. And then they called him his neighbors. Now Abraham come from a heathen land, where they offered a human sacrifice. And if he kills that boy, what is the tribesman going to say?
Yeah.
He's turned back to heathenism. He killed his boy, he'll kill us. I mean, God would really heat the fire on Father Abraham. And he had to think about all this. What are my servants going to say? And what are my tribesmen going to say? How are they going to act if I take the life of my own son? And neighbor, listen. When the trial gets in your family, son, it's a trial showing up. You better believe it's a trial showing up. When your wife comes home and tells you that the doctor has found cancer in her breast, or when the children you've raised in the house of God won't go to church no more, and they get in the world, all wrapped up in the world, and somehow your own family gets near the yard. You know, the Arabians used to ride their horses in the battle. And they'd always keep a horse up for several days without water or food and let it nearly starve to death. And then they'd take it down to the branch of the river and throw the saddle on it and mount as if they were going to battle and say to the horse, charge. And if it stopped to drink, Before it charged, it was disqualified. It wouldn't do to ride in battle. It was not a thoroughbred. But if it listened to the voice of its master, for it listened to the desire of its own flesh, it would be qualified to ride into battle and to risk their life on. And through the years, I've seen some of the best people go in the deepest trials, dear neighbor. But when they come out, they're ready to battle. They're ready to serve. They're ready to do the will of God. God ain't going to jerk up somebody in there, dear neighbor, that ain't been saved but a month or a couple of months and throw them in the middle of the battle. He's going to get them ready. He always gets them ready before he puts them in the battle to fight the war against the devil and against the flesh. Boy, there's a lot in this right here. I read this for years before I ever got what it was. See? It was a trial to his nerves, a trial to his name, a trial because of his neighbors. And for sake of alliteration, what about his nanny? What is Sarah going to say? What is Sarah, his wife, going to say? Well, you look here, what a trial this is. I'm going to illustrate. I've got a dog that... He's a full-blooded Doberman. I mean, he's almost like a human. And at night, he followed my wife. Every step's human. He loved my wife, and my wife loved that dog as much as a human could love an animal. And if I was to go home and just take that dog and kill it and not even mention to her what I was doing or tell her what it was about, can you imagine what she'd think? And how she'd feel towards me if I killed that dog and not even tell her what I was doing. But Abraham conferred not with flesh and blood. And Abraham staggered not. Hey, he's going to do the will of God. I mean, God's built a fire under his feet. And the ground is shaking all around him. But he meant to do the will of God. And I never don't think it's rain when the fire trial comes. God's getting you ready for another day. And God's getting you ready for the battle you're going to have to fight before you ever get home. And what a trial this was. You know, as he sat around the campfire on the way to Mount Moriah, all this had to be going through his mind and going through his heart. What's Sarah going to say? This is her boy. This is her son. And what's she going to think about me killing him? But he meant to follow God. God had told him to take that boy, and he wasn't going to listen to his own reasoning and to all the circumstances that surrounded him. He meant to take Isaac, and he meant to kill him near neighbor. He bailed him over and drove back the nail and locked a shotgun. I don't know what you are when you're up here in the choir singing. And I like the way you sing. I don't mean that in no belittling way. You got a great singing choir. I like that. But when you get out yonder in the world, and everything's going wrong on the job, and everything's going wrong in your family, and it seems like that even God's turned against you, then I'll find out what you really are. Then I'll know. Then I'll understand what you really are. I've seen people that could do a big shout in the church, but when trial come and heartache come and trouble come, they run and stick their head in a hole, dear neighbor. It ought not to be. Nothing will ever come to you that God don't allow and God don't permit. There's never been an action that come. You're a child of God. And to them who are called to come with purpose, and to let the devil blow in hot breath, God's going to do right for this.
Yes, right.
And the burden of his faith, he was tried in a tremendous way. All right, notice your Bible now. The beauty of his faith. The beauty of his faith. And let me say before I start right here, God waters our eyes with tears many times. But soon there'll come that day when, dear neighbor, all our tears will be dried up, the tear glands will be gone, and we shall rejoice forever and ever and ever and ever. And if you find a child of God that's really going through the fire, if you'll look close enough, standing somewhere in the shadows,
yes,
you'll find Jesus.
Yes.
You may not find him in the biggest church in this town. And you may not find him in the most beautiful church in this town. But you find one of his little kids that's in the fire and is standing somewhere in the shadows. You'll find Jesus. Bless his holy name. Blessed be the name of God. He will not believe us. And the saints do never. And the wicked shine. And they will shine like pure gold. Every trial you go through, you get a little bit stronger. You know the reason that early church had such victory? The Bible said if you suffer with them, the Spirit of glory rests on you. It rests on you. The Spirit of glory rests. It may come on you when you sing. It may come on you sometime when you preach. But it will never rest on you till you suffer with him. I mean, when you suffer for him and suffer with him, he'll just rest on you like a dove. If you wanna find Jesus, find a man or woman that's in a trial. Oh, that gangle, Miss Kinnamer, both of her sons got killed right before Easter. And on Easter morning, she's standing up there, face wet with tears, smiling, singing that he lives, he lives. I know it. I don't understand all of his ways. There's a lot he's let come my way that I don't understand. But I've learned to trust him when I couldn't track him, amen. I've learned dear neighbor, that he'll do me right. He never has done me wrong, and he never will do me wrong. And he let that trial come to you, and you'll be glad when you go through it. And when it's over, the burden of his trial. Now the beauty of his trial. Now the word has two meanings. Logos, that's a written word, and Rhema, that's a living word. Listen. Abraham didn't have no Bible. Boy, I seen this, my heart stood. He didn't have no preacher to comfort him. No church where he could go and find strength. He didn't have nobody but God. He didn't have no Bible to read where he could claim the promise. All he had was the Rhema. He had heard God. He had heard God. God had told him that through Isaac the lineage would come and the seed would come. And Abraham believed, even though he killed him, God had raised him up from the dead, dear neighbor. And the bring his promise to pass. And just think about being in a trial like this. And no church. No Bible. No preacher. Nobody to give you comfort. About 10 years ago, I had to go in the hospital for an operation. I had to cut out my gallbladder, and when they got in there, they found I had a tumor on my adrenal gland. I'm running on half adrenaline. I just got one gland. There's two adrenal glands, and they cut one of them out years ago. And I remember they had to give me CPR. I like to die. And I woke up, and they running me to that emergency room, and they had me hooked up to all them wires and tubes and so on. And I was laying there, and I thought it might be the end of the line. And I can remember this as if it was this morning. And I was so weak, I couldn't talk, but somehow I knew I wanted to pray one more time. And I got turned up on my side some way or another. And I tried to pray. And the Holy Ghost would listen. He spoke to me as plain as I'm talking with you tonight.
Yes, sir.
Not in my ears, no. I didn't see nothing. I didn't hear nothing in my ears, but down in my heart. He said, "This will pass away. That's a very thing." He said, "This will pass away." Well, I know I'd heard God. And I laid there and rejoiced and cried. I didn't want to die. Nobody wants to die. And I thought, well, since I ain't going to die, I'm going to get up. And I got up out of that bed some way or another. All them wires, I look like a Radio Shack, so many wires running out of me. And I made it over there to that big old chair. And I sat down in that chair. I looked out the window. It was raining out there. It was about dark. And a little nurse come in. She didn't look like she was about 15 or 16. And I knew she was gonna really, really get on me for getting out of that bed. And I just stopped her in her track. I said, "Honey, before you say anything, I just had a great experience with God. Oh, I just had a wonderful experience with God. And I'll tell you about it if you want me to." And she must have been a Christian. She sat down on the bed and said, "Tell me." I said, "The Lord. Now, I don't run healing lines. And I'm not in the charismatic movement. I'm talking about God talking with me like He did Abraham."
Yes, sir.
You say God don't talk with people today like that. Yes. He said, "Today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart." And He said, "My sheep hear my voice. And they follow me." And she sat down. And I said, "Honey, He told me I wasn't going to die. That my work wasn't hardly over yet. And my wife and children are out there in the waiting room. And I want you to go out there and tell them that all is well with Brother Edgar. I've heard from heaven. And all is well. Everything, if I die right here, that's the truth. I knew I'd heard God. And Abraham didn't have no Bible. And he didn't have no encouragement, but he had heard God. And he never staggered around here, neighbor. And we had to get quiet and listen and hear God. Then we'll know what to do and which way to go.
Yes.
Man lost his watch at the sawmill. And his fellow workers hunted and helped him search, and they never could find it. And they went away to lunch and come back. And the little old boy had to watch. And they said, "Son, how did you find that watch?" And he said, "I laid down in the sawdust and got real still. And I heard it saying, tick, tick, tick,
And a lot of times we just ought to we ought to shut our big mouth and let Him talk.
Amen.
We ought to talk with Him and then get quiet enough to let Him talk back. It's a two-way line. And Abraham heard Him. And He's still talking today. If He ain't talking, a man trying to make light of that. And I said, well, bless God, if He don't talk to people, how do you know where you saved or not?
Right.
That's foolishness.
Sure.
He lets you know when you get saved.
Amen.
He lets you know when He wants you to preach.
Yes.
He lets you know God is still alive and still in communication with the people there and ever. And Abraham and God. And he meant to do the will of God no matter what happened. And when you get in that trial, listen. Two times in my life. Well, He talked to me when I got saved. But not like two times in my life. He's talking to me as plain as I'm talking to you. If I had to die, He's talking to me as plain as I'm talking. God does talk. And God still got some people in this world. They're not blind. They're not in the dark. They know where they're at. They know where they come from and where they're going and which way to get there. Amen. And the Logos is good. I like to read it. I love that word. But the Rhema, well, when He talks to me in the Holy Ghost, ain't nothing like it. I could say some things here tonight. I could say some things here tonight. You know I fear God. I wouldn't run up and down the country all these years if I didn't fear God. But I had Him one time to burn in my heart. If you had cut it out and put it in hell, it wouldn't have burned no hotter than that. Then it burned. And little old school preachers.
Yes.
Somebody get on a conviction and they'll grab a Bible and put it on their nose. You believe that?
Right.
You better stay there till God talks with you.
Right.
You better stay there till God lets you know.
Right.
I got a call the other day from Florida. I had two German people in the church. Dale and Doc first had some Jewish people. The rabbi in Atlanta, his grandfather, they come to my church. And Marie really got saved. I don't know if he ever got saved or not. Marie is saved. And one morning, I seen the little German girl go to Marie Summerfield, whom I dearly loved. Boy, Marie is saved. She had a terrible burden for them Jewish. She was saved. And I seen Dodd and Maria talking. And then they come to the altar. And they must have stayed there. I don't know. I won't exaggerate. I don't know how long time. And Dodd said, all these years, we wanted children. And God never has given me no children. And we've been praying for a child. I felt like God wanted me to get Marie to pray with me for a child. And in 9 months, here come little daughter. They called me the other day. Dodd had died. Boy, I love my church. I love them people. I preach so hard to them. I never seen a man in that church with a mustache. I never seen a woman. There's 300 or 400, 500 members in there, and I never seen a woman with a prayer breach in them. But one, and I preached her out in 2 weeks, she is gone. Clean. You didn't jump up in that choir and sing.
Amen.
If you laughed, then prove that. What I'm trying to say. Abel didn't have no Bible, but God told him how to worship. And he went and got the lamb when Cain went out there and got the works of his own hand. And Noah didn't have no Bible, but God told him it's going to rain. It never had rain. And Noah built an ark. And Enoch never had no Bible, but he was with God, and God translated him. And Joseph never had no Bible, but God told him there's going to be a resurrection. And he gave commandment concerning his bone. He said, take my bone to my heart. Where that first resurrection is going to be at? And he got up with a rest. I love the Word. I love the Bible. These folks that bring all these old different Bibles. Lord God, somebody ought to gag you. I was preaching a big old church the other day. Lawrenceville. Said fastest growing church this side of the land. And I got off on this here business of all these here different Bibles. And I took a hide on it. And here come an old hippie looking guy down there at the end of the meeting.
Yeah.
And that book he had didn't have no backs on it, and it had it folded. It looked like a serum roebuck yellow. And he said, what do you want me to do with this? I said, find the nearest garbage can you can find.
That's right.
Yes. Stick it in there, amen.
Amen.
Stick it in there. You bring one Bible up down to this church, and you bring another Bible. Somebody else bring another. You get these young people wondering, what is the Bible? What is the Word of God? That's the one Bible. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. That's it. Boy, what a beautiful shot Abraham was. He just had God's promise, that's all. He stood on it. My grandson died the week before last, 31 years old. Just got sick. Overnight, died. But I remember when he was a little old boy, they took him to Atlanta. His mother and his daddy and mother separated him. And she got custody of Ken, and they moved him to Atlanta. He wanted to live with me all his life, and for the last 2 years of his life, he did get to live with me. But I remember when he was a little old boy, they'd bring him, or we'd go get him on Friday, and he stayed on Sunday, and then they'd take him back. And I said, one day, Ken, when you get old enough to drive, son, I'm going to get you a car. And then you can come and see me whenever you get ready. It's 50 miles down out to Atlanta from where we live. I said, you can come to see me when you get ready. Well, the months and years went by. I forgot about that. Then one day, a big old 6'2", 200-pound boy walks in my house. And he said, Pop, I come in my car. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you remember what you told me? When I got old enough to drive, you'd get me a car. He had held that in his heart all them years. And if I'd have had to rob a bank, I didn't get him no back, couldn't buy no big car. But son, I wouldn't have broke my word to him. I'd have got him a car. If I'd have had to buy whatever I had to do, I'd kept my word to that boy. And you just come around here too late to tell me that God's going to lie to me. Oh no! Oh no! What he said in that word
He's well able to perform it and do it. And God put a burden on him in that child. But there was great beauty as he followed God, even though he didn't have no cover from the outside. All right, let me just touch his life for a moment, and I'll be done. The blessing of his faith. Now, Abraham and Isaac started up a mountain where he's going to take his boy's life. God said to a little old ram on the other side of the mountain, get up that mountain.
That's what he said now.
Get up! Yes. You say you believe that, you mighty right. I mean. I believe he told a fish to swallow Jonah.
Amen.
I believe he told a rooster to crow and tell on cursing Peter. Amen. I believe he sent the hornets to fight for Israel in the back. I believe that God is God of the creatures and the animals, just like he is people. He can do what he wants to.
Amen.
And he said to that little ram, get up that hill. I've got need of you up on top. And Abraham and Isaac are going up one side. And God was sending the ram. Up the other side. Yeah, that's what it said. I'm glad I got in for all this modernism.
Yes, yes.
People got to doubting God. God will do what he said.
Yes.
And he's able to do it too.
Yes, he is.
God laid it on my heart 35 years ago to go to Atlanta. Get on that big station. 50,000 watts. It shoots plumb over into South Carolina. And Brother Mace was on and he went with me or called him. He's going to help me get on that station. And I went down there. And they told me how many $1,000s I'd have to have before I could preach the first time. And I just, the cotton mill fell out. That was $1,000,000 to me. I didn't have no money like that. And I went home and got to church in the altar to pray. I said, God told me to go down and get on the radio. And they want more money than I've ever had in my life. Well, suddenly I got an inspiration. And I said, Catherine, I'm going to sell a house. And she said, sell a house. Where are we going to live? I said, I don't know. What are you going to do with the money? I'm going to give it to the radio station. And I sold it. He knows. And took that money and laid it down on the desk of John Fulton at WGUN in Atlanta 35 years ago. Started preaching 5 days a week. On that big station. Well, I went out on the lake and rented me a house about 10 times as good as the one I lived in. And I was preaching, and that mail started coming, and I went up there one day. And there was I had took up a second mortgage on that house out there on that lake. And I was trying to make a payment on the house and a payment on that other mortgage. It was really a struggle. And there was a big old long letter, longer than some women's tongue, laying in that box. And I thought, well, I'm up here at First Federal, and there ain't no use for me to go home and open this letter and have to come back. I thought I'll just open it and see what it is. You know, I opened it. Out fell a clear deed to that house. And a check for, I forget how many hundreds of dollars. I couldn't,
I couldn't believe it. I didn't know where to faint or die or run or jump. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I made a beeline to First Federal, and they let me in there to see the big man. And I said, "What does this mean?" He said, "It means your house had been paid for. And that check is the interest you'd have had to pay if you'd have kept on making payment." And I said, "Who in the world would have ever done that?" And he said, "You won't ever know." I had to swear that I'd never tell. And to this day, so help me God, I don't know who bought that house. You can't beat him.
No, sir, for sure.
He won't get in debt to you, neither.
You better pay back that.
More you do for him.
Yes, sir.
That's him.
Oh, that's right.
And he knows. I've seen $1 million drop in that box. Like he rained that man out of hell. I never have owed him a dime. I'm paid up to March, I think. Preach every morning. There's 2 million people right there in Atlanta and it goes all over Georgia.
Amen. Amen. That's good. I praise him.
And if you're in a trial, then you stay true to God. I've preached a long time now. Let me tell you something. Every man I ever met that God really used really went through the fire. Spurgeon was preaching in that tabernacle cave then, and 8 people died. It had been snowing for 2 weeks, and it got top heavy. And he wasn't even 20. He never had married. He was staying at a rooming house. And he went to that rooming house and shut the door, and nobody saw his face for 3 days. And he was saying, "God, if I'm your servant, why did you let this come to me?" God was breaking him, getting him ready to use. George Truett, a kernel of birds flew out, and he shot too quick and shot it, butted his head off. And out of that tragedy come the greatest preacher that North Carolina ever had, Western North Carolina. Brother Sadler said, "All year we didn't have but 2-3 people say. And that drunk struck down my baby. And I sat down on the curb and took her up in my arms and watched her die." And he said, "Next year the waters were busy all year. I was baptizing so many people." And that trial is what will make you, get you for God. He can use you in His service. The wind hits the pines up on top of the hill before it does any other. If you won't stand high, you just go through them. I could tell you some things. Boy, I know what it is to go to that church. Come away when the sun come up in the morning. Oh, I do. I do. I know what it is. So wake up in the night and the pillow be wet from a tear to my eye because people I loved didn't understand and they took off and left me. And I don't mean to leave no impression that I've ever amounted to anything. But whatever I am, it didn't come when I was up on the hill. It come
when it seemed like all hell is shaking under my feet. And Abraham! And many I walk in the steps of Abraham. They're the children of Abraham. And if he tries you, don't get afraid. I found out something about the death of my grandson. It's shocking at first. This is what will happen. It's shocking. Then it's grieving. Then the healing will start. He started healing on me last night, way in the night. He come to me last night. And you're either in the trial or coming out of it or fixing to go in. This will fit everybody. But stay true to God. You'll be the winner in the end. Amen. As the flames crackled around the stakes of them martyrs, they could hear them shouting and singing across the hills and through the valleys. John Bunyan laid in that jail at Bedford for 7 years. The little girl stood out there. He could see her through the bars. A little blind girl selling pencil where his family could have something to eat. They said, John Bunyan, if you'll promise not to preach no more, we'll let you out. And he said, me think if you let me out this morning, I'll be out there in the hill to preaching tonight. And he said, you see that chain? I wouldn't swap one link of it for a diamond that big. God tried them old Puritan boys. They stood the test. Well, I don't know what you're going to sing out of this. I don't know why I'm preaching like this. But our whole nation may be fixing to go in the greatest trial it's ever had. And I'm wondering how many people are going to stand when it does come.
You're right, preacher. You're right, preacher.